Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. It's good to see you this morning. We definitely had a very good revival service. And so I was praying about what to preach to pull all this together. And I think the Lord gave it to me. Proverbs chapter 25. It says, Proverbs chapter 25, let's see, let's start in verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And that's something that's going to stand out, right? And so if you have a word, the Lord gives you a good word for someone, it's something that's definitely going to stand out. Apples of gold and pictures of silver. And it says in verse 12, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover on an obedient ear. It complements it, right? Makes it look better, and it improves things. And then he says, as cold of snow in the time of harvest. We don't feel that in South Texas a lot, but that's that cool breeze that blows in the fall. So is a faithful messenger to them that send him. So the Lord sent us to be his ambassadors and tell his news in a foreign land, right? And so, you know how I don't know if you've ever been in the field how many of you have ever been in a field in the fall? Okay. Well, how many of you have been in the zoo in the fall, at least? Okay, so I remember when I grew up around the Amish people, and I remember we would be picking sorghum. We would be taking all the leaves off the sorghum cane and getting ready to harvest that, and it'd be September, the end of September in there. And I remember you'd start working and you'd start sweating, and then that fall breeze would blow across your skin, and it would just, man, it felt so good. It was so refreshing, right? And that's how you are to the Lord. You're refreshing to him if you're a faithful messenger. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. Now, isn't that our objective, to glorify the Lord? Isn't that what we're supposed to do, why God created us? Listen, one way you can be glorifying to God is by being a faithful messenger and giving his word to those that send him. And then it says, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift, that's like a teenager, He can drive the best even though he's never driven and all these things, is like clouds and wind without rain. And that's very offensive in South Texas in the summer, isn't it? And verse 15, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. You know, if you're in an argument or if you're in a disagreement, the soft tongue that's wise is going to be the one that gets to the bottom of it and takes care of it. And it says, verse 16, hast thou found honey? Well, I don't know. Have you found honey? I found some this morning. And that's probably not going to help at all, but I said, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Now, has anyone ever overdosed on honey? Does anyone know what the overdose? They say you can tolerate 10 spoons full of honey before you start overdosing on it. And you know what happens when you overdose on honey? You get your stomach starts bloating and cramping and relieving itself without getting too graphic, right? And you start getting headaches and nausea. And you know what is another interesting thing about overdose on honey? It causes malabsorption. So your nutrients are not going to absorb in their stomach. Now, you know, honey is very healthy. It has a lot of good properties in it. It has riboflavin. I don't even know why riboflavin is healthy for you, but apparently it is, so you should drink a lot of Kool-Aid, right? So it has riboflavin in it. It has antifungal properties, and it has antibiotic properties. It's good for a sore throat. It's good for digestion. Even though it has more calories than sugar, it has something in it that helps you burn fat. So it's very, very good, and it's very healthy. But if you eat too much of it, then it no longer benefits you. And it causes anything else you eat not to be absorbed. And I said, boy, isn't that a picture of our Bible-believing churches? You know what we do is we just cram the Bible down you and cram the Bible down you and cram the Bible down you and cram the Bible down you. And then there, you're like, what? Why aren't they absorbing any of this? You know, I found out a long time ago that my job as a preacher, it's something more than just standing up here and screaming at you three times a week. Because there's only so much that you can absorb. So, hast thou found honey? What is honey? Well, the Bible says that the land of Israel was a land of milk and honey, right? Didn't it? That was a place where God was manifested to him. It says in the book of Song of Solomon, O my spouse, thy lips drop as a honeycomb, honey and milk are under thy tongue. And that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's talking about his tongue, the words of his mouth. It says honey and milk were under thy tongue. Doesn't the Bible say that newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby? Now, anybody that has children learned that you're not supposed to give honey to an infant, are you? But you're supposed to give milk to them. You know why you can't give honey to them? Because their system can't tolerate it. And you know, when a person first gets saved, they need to know the basics. They need to know how they got saved. They need to know why salvation is important. They need to know about prayer. They need to know about the Bible. They need to know about some basic things of the Christian life. Now, there's milk, there's honey, and there's bread, and then there's meat, right? Now, honey is something that's a little bit stronger than milk, wouldn't you agree? Honey, it's sweet, but it also stings, doesn't it? It's sweet, but it's also spicy. And so as we grow in the Lord, we need something a little bit stronger than milk. We need to get some honey and some milk and eventually some meat. And it comes from his mouth. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 19 and verse 9, it says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter also than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So, you know what we're learning as we go along is we're learning that the Bible, the words of the Lord, the message that God has for you, the words and the sermons that the Lord Jesus Christ preached, that's honey, right? It's honey. And but here's what it says. It says, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomited up. So if you get too much of it, it's not going to be beneficial. The Bible says about manna, it was like the taste of manna when it came down from heaven. It said it was like wafers and honey. Didn't it say that? And remember when they went out in Exodus chapter 16 and they're gathering the honey? It says, gather every man according to his eating. Don't get more than you can eat, because if you get more than you can eat, then it's just going to breed worms and it's going to stink and it's going to rot. Now, say, preacher, why are you preaching on this? The reason I'm preaching on this is because we've just been through a lot of revival services, haven't we? We went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of revival services. And you know what we got during that time? We got a lot of honey. Okay? Now, when you come through a meeting like that, you're left with so much that it can be overwhelming. And you're like, I need to change this, and I need to change this, and I need to change this. And there's so much wrong with my life. There's so many things that I need to change. And if you're not careful, you're going to get overwhelmed and you're going to vomit everything up and it's not going to do anything for you. Has anyone been there before where you've learned too much and you just, You say, I can't deal with this, and then you put it aside, and it would have been just as good if you learned nothing because you didn't consume it. So, if you were here all the nights of the meeting, you'll notice that you had a theme going on. And we talked about preparing for the meeting, and we said, you know, pray what it is that God has for me, okay? And so, for me, it was like this. The first night, it was like, okay, I think you have a problem here. Like, yeah, I probably have a problem. I'm probably dehydrated. And then the next night, it was the Lord says, here's the problem. And then I was like, ouch, right? And then the next night was, here's how you deal with the problem. And then the next night was, let's have strength to deal with it. So there was something in there, if you were here, that the Lord gave to you. That he says, I want you to work on this. I want you to change this. And there was a whole lot of other things. But what I want you to do is just find out, and even if you weren't here and this doesn't apply to you, listen, God shows you a lot of things that need to change. Just find the one thing that it is and just get a little bit of honey, but don't eat too much of it. And because the Bible says in Revelation, when he got the book, he ate it and it was sweet in his mouth, but then it became bitter in his stomach, right? And if you get too much truth, it's going to become bitter and you're going to become overwhelmed. And listen, have you found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomited up. A look at Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 27. It is not good to eat much honey. So for men to seek out their own glory is not right. So now that we've found out what honey is and what it is, it's a sweetener. And if you get some honey in your life will be sweeter for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an energy source. It will give you energy to do with what you want to do for the Lord. It's a source of vitamins and minerals. It will strengthen your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. It has antibacterial and antifungal properties to it. So if you get a little bit of honey in you, you know what the Lord will do? He'll start getting sin out of you and cleansing you, and it has antiseptic properties in it. You know, they're studying using honey for wound care, and you put it in a wound, and it keeps the wound dry, moist, and it still keeps the disease from getting in it, and it's helping wounds to heal faster because they're putting honey in it. And you, when you get wounded, if you get the Word of God in you, it will help you to heal. But you have to eat it. You have to eat it. Would we agree that this honey will do you no good unless you eat it? This morning I said, I'm preaching on honey. I need to remember what it tastes like. So I went to HEB and I got some bananas. I found a cheap way to eat lunch since I'm on a budget. So I can get like three pounds of bananas for like 39 cents a pound. So I just get a big bunch of bananas and eat those all day. And my wife said, you have spending money left over. I said, thank the Lord for bananas. But you know what bananas do? It tastes so much better when you put honey on it. And it tastes a little bit better if you even put peanut butter on it. Peanut butter, honey, and bananas. I mean, that is, listen, forget Menuda and Langua and all that other stuff. Get me some bananas and honey and peanut butter. Amen? And what a blessing. So, but it's going to do you no good unless you eat it. So I thought, what would keep you from eating the honey? Because we agree, we've found it. We've found what it is that God wants for us, right? But that will do no good unless somehow you get it down into your gullet. But I found out that the problem is not finding the honey. The problem is consuming the honey. Now, when I was a boy, I grew up in the hills of Tennessee, and I used to walk to school. And I used to walk to school uphill both ways and 2 feet of snow with nothing to eat but with dirt, and I was thankful for it, amen? But I used to walk to school, and on the way to school, we got to this place where we went up this hill right before we got over to the schoolhouse, and I was probably 7, 8 years old back then. I walk a couple miles to school back when the world was safe, amen? And, well, at least we thought it was. And I remember going past this, and there was a tree that came over, and it went over the road, and that tree about halfway up or about head high, to me, I was 7 years old, so about this high, there was a big old hole in that tree where a limb had broken off, and there was a knot and a hollowed out place there. And every time I would walk back past it, I would hear this buzzing. And I say, those are honeybees. And I'd watch the bees, and they would fly out of that hole, and they'd go foraging, and they would come back. Right into that. And every day I walked by. And the next year there were more bees. And I'd walk by, and I'd walk by, and I just imagined Winnie the Pooh, and I saw all that golden honey. And I dream about it. I talk to my friends about it. I talk to my parents about it. There was nothing more I wanted in my life as a lad than the honey. Hast thou found honey? Absolutely, I found some honey. And I said, it's good, and I want that honey. We didn't have sugar. We were poor. We had cornflakes and powdered milk, and we didn't even have any sweetener on our. And I would be eating my cornflakes in the morning. I said, this would be so much better if it had some honey on. And so I saw in the little books what Winnie the Pooh would do is he would stick his hand down in the. And so what I did one day is I said, I'm going to go get some honey. And I got a stick, and I was going to go and poke it down that hole and dip it down there. And you know what happened about that time? I got stung. And more bees started coming for me. So you ever seen the bear running and all the bees behind him? So I started running away because I didn't want to get more stung. And you know why I never, ever in my life, this story has a horrible ending, but I never got that honey. Ever. You know what happened one day? A redneck with a big old rebel flag on his truck and a couple of dogs in the back of his truck got and built a little bonfire around that, smoked the bees out and got his chainsaw, cut that tree down, threw it in the back of his truck and took off with all my honey. And you know why I never got the honey? Because the pain stopped me. Okay? Now, I'll tell you this. If the Lord showed you something, there's a lot of times, you know, what I learned this time about revival is it's not always shouting and all that stuff. Sometimes revival is God says, here's your problem, buddy, and here's what I need you to do to change the problem. Here's your honey. Now, I just want you to swallow it down and eat it. And I know it's going to sting the back of your throat, but you need to get this honey down, and you need to take care of it. You need to get it. And you know what happens? The bees come by. And you're like, Lord, I don't want the pain from that sting. I don't want to get stung. You know what? I'm just not going to drink the honey. And then it will do me absolutely no good. There, in the Christian life, there's all kinds of bees that are trying to stop you from getting the honey to eat that you have found. And during this revival, I saw the honey I was supposed to get, and I saw it, and I knew it. And I learned that I have to go through a bunch of bees to get it, and it's going to be painful. And you know why it's painful? Because sometimes in life you have to execute judgment. And that's not an easy thing. You know, the hardest part for me to be a pastor is to kill the wolf. I think about David, and he was up there, and you know what happened is a wolf came in and a lion came in and all that stuff, or a bear and a lion came in. And you know what David did? He killed those animals to protect the sheep. But in the church, you know how the wolf comes in? He comes in sheep's clothing. And here's how you meet the wolf.
How are you doing?
Good.
And I'm glad to have you here this morning. How'd you hear about the church?
Website.
And you know what? I'll tell you a secret about the wolf. Sometimes you will like them personally. And there'll be people that you... Sometimes the wolf is a sick sheep. And you love them. And you care about them. But you know what you have to do so the other sheep don't die? You have to be like Phineas, and you have to take a rod and you have to stick them to the ground. And if there's any part for me that is difficult of being a pastor, it's taking care of the wolves. And maybe it's not difficult for you, but in my life, I have the same problem as a parent. You know, sometimes as a parent, you know what is wrong for your children and what is bad for your children and who they shouldn't hang out with and what they should and shouldn't watch and what they shouldn't eat. And you know what it's difficult for you to do sometimes? To kill the wolf and get them out of there. I remember when I was a little kid in my life, a wolf started coming around and I loved the wolf. And I wanted to hang out with the wolf. And my dad did not even know why this person was a wolf. He just knew he was a wolf because he smelled like it or something. And I remember the wolf coming down and he said, "Hey, can I go and play with Bez? We're going to go fishing." And my dad said, "Get on your bike, get off of my property, and don't ever come back here." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" He says, "I don't know what you've done. I just don't like you. And you're no good for my kid, and I don't even have a reason not to like you. Don't ever talk to him again. Get out of here." And my dad had a big beard in one hand, and he was a scary man. And that wolf let out a yelp, and he left, and he never came back. But you know what? That's difficult for me. For me, sometimes that is difficult to do because there has to be judgment. I have a family member that's applying to the police academy. And you know one question they ask you? Would you arrest your brother? Would you lock him up? Would you shoot someone if you had to? And I said, I don't think I'd be a very good police officer. I'd be like the guy that says, "I'm going to go to the bathroom, and when I come back, whoever's in this room will get arrested. I will be back in 3 minutes. If there's somebody here, they will get arrested." Are we clear? But that's my nature. And so when the Lord shows me honey and things that you have to do, at times it is very hard and difficult for me to take care of it. You know what the devil does in my life? He disguises weakness as compassion. And there's all kinds of times in life where you think, "Oh, I'm being compassionate and I'm being nice." And you know what the truth is? You're just being weak because it's easier to take wrong than to stand up and do what's right. Let me ask you, what is keeping you from taking the honey that the Lord has shown you and eating it? Could it be the fact that there's too many bees around the honey and it's too painful to consume? I remember there was a man named Abraham, and he had a son with a woman named Hagar, and the son's name was Ishmael. And one time, his wife Sarah was sitting in the tent, and she saw this little kid mocking her son Isaac, and she said, "Cast out the bondwoman and her son." Now, you know what she's telling Abraham to do? "Get rid of your son. I do not care about your son. Get rid of him. I don't want to see him. I do not even care if he is your son. I don't care if he dies out in the desert. I don't care what emotional ties you have to this child. Get him and cast him out. Cast out the bondwoman and her son." You know what, Abraham, he said it was grievous to him. You ever been in a place like that where it's grievous to do what, you know what God wants you to do, you know what the honey is, but it's grievous. And you think about that night. I don't think Abraham slept much that night. You know what the Lord said to him? He said, "She's right, Listen to your wife cast out the bondwoman and her son. You know what Abraham did that morning? He got the thing of water. And he called Hagar in and he said, Hagar, you got to leave. Well, I wouldn't even have this child if it wouldn't be for you. You're the only reason you have it. And why are you punishing me for your mistake? Yeah. Yeah, I agree. This is on me. But I have to. Abraham, you are rich. Can't you give me a credit card, a debit card? Can't you do something? No. Here's some water. Here's some water. Ishmael, I love you, boy. I'm not going to see you anymore. Get on out of here. Let me ask you, have you found honey? Have you found honey? I'll tell you, if you're ever going to eat that honey, you're going to have to go through a few bees. You're going to have to go through a little pain to get it. But you know what happened? God took care of that boy. And you know what we have to learn? That we're not Jesus. The Lord can take care of it. Abraham then came to a point where he had to do it to his own son and his son Isaac. I can't imagine Abraham, you know what? I'll give him credit for this. Abraham would do what God wanted him to do no matter how much it hurt him. He wanted to please God more than he wanted to keep his emotions intact. And that's incredible. Because there's not many Christians that care more about what God wants than how they feel. And you know what you have to do when you grow up as a Christian? You have to care more about what God wants than how you feel. You have to care about more about what God wants than how it would affect other people. You have to put God first and His way first, and you have to bear the sting of the bees to get to the honey. Lot came and he said to his daughters and his son-in-law, let's get out of this city because it's going to burn. And he seemed as one that mocked. And the next day, Lot had to leave that city with his children in it because they wouldn't listen to him. Listen, I bet Lot would have rather stayed there and died with his children. I know I'm a parent. I would have absolutely rather stayed there and died with the children. But God said, you get out. You got to get out. You know what Lot did? He left that city and he went there and then he looked back and you know what he saw? He saw the smoke of that city ascend up into heaven. And he knew that part of that smoke was his children's house and his children's hair and their flesh that was ascending with that smoke. Have you found honey? Yeah. Say, I don't want to eat it. It's too painful. The Lord said, Peter, put up your sword. The cup that my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Let me tell you, one thing that might keep you from the honey is pain. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 14. Another thing that might keep you from the honey. 1 Samuel chapter 14. In verse 24, is people. Don't let pain keep you from the honey, and don't let people keep you from the honey. Have you found honey? 1 Samuel 14, 24, and the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies, so none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. What, you ever seen those nests? And I don't know, I don't think the American bees do it that much. They do it some, but they make a nest on a tree with a big honeycomb like that. And those things get full and heavy, and sometimes if you don't harvest them, they'll get so full that some of that honeycomb will fall down to the ground. and you'll be along, and it'll be just dripping to the ground. And that, think about it, you're walking into this woods and you're starving, you look up and you hear this buzzing and this honey's dripping down, and part of that honeycomb falls down, and you're starving and you need some energy and you need some glucose, and you know what? He looks up there and that honey's there, it dropped. And it says in verse 26, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not what his father charged the people with the oath. Therefore he put the end of his rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put its hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Now let me tell you this. There will always be people that try to keep you from eating the honey that God wants you to eat. I was a child, and I grew up around Amish people, and there was an Amish beekeeper, and his name was Paul Miller, and he lived there by the schoolhouse, and if you looked on the hill, there were all these white boxes everywhere, white boxes, you know, and I'd see him, he'd dress up in his suit with his big thing to go smoke out the bees and collect the honey, and I remember thinking, you know what I'm going to do one day, I want to go and raid those honey boxes. And I went to him and I said, hey, when are you going to harvest the honey? I said, I'm going to go up there and check it. He said, stay away from the honey boxes. And then he would go and harvest the honey, and he would put it in these jars, and they looked gold, and it was clover honey. Have you ever had clover honey? It was made from red clover, and you could smell the clover on the field, and that honey was that golden. It's the most beautiful. It's not like this honey. It's so beautiful and it tastes good. The best honey in the world is clover honey, I think. And he put it in that jar. I say, can I have a taste of honey? He said, no. You don't have any money. He said, give me some honey! To this day, I've never gotten to taste the honey. And you know what? There's always people that are going to try to keep you from taking what God has for you. Listen, I can't tell you how many times you'll say you'll have a husband and a wife, and they'll be sitting in church, and God will, maybe he's speaking to the husband about doing something for him or selling out for him, or maybe he's talking to him about missions, and then there's a message that's preached on surrender. And the wife is thinking, I know the Lord's talking to this man, but if he surrenders, that's going to affect my wife, so I don't want him to get the honey. So she'll jab him, grab his hand, say, I love you, honey. Where are we going to eat after church? Maybe there's a wife, and she's been convicted about all the stuff they've been watching on television, and you hear a message about keeping your eyes pure, and the husband doesn't want to give up his stinking show, so he distracts it. You know why people try to keep you from the honey? Because if you get the honey, your eyes are going to be opened and it's going to change your life, and that is going to affect them. Do not, when God is giving you honey and he's giving you a message, please don't do what I do so often and consider other people. You can be considerate of other people, but if God has a message for you, and he has honey he wants you to eat, he will take care of the details. Pain will keep you from the honey. People will keep you from the honey. And then the other thing that will stop you from getting honey is problems. You know, sometimes it might seem too difficult to get the honey out. I don't know if you've ever seen those signs around town. They say free bee removal. Or they'll say, if you have bees, call us and bee removal. And you know what you'll have if somebody comes to remove those bees? They'll smoke them out. And let's say they're in the wall of your house. You know what they have to do? They have to suit up and they have to cut the wall out. And then they cut the wall out and then they get their vacuum and they start vacuuming the bees up looking for the queen bee, and they put them in there. And you know what? Sometimes it takes them, if it's a big hive that fills the cavity of a wall or goes in into the roof there, sometimes they'll have to take apart so much of that wall and so much of that roof, and they will be vacuuming, and it will take them an entire day just to get the bees out. Then you know what they have to do? They have to start cutting the honeycomb out. They cut the honeycomb out and they put it in a bucket, and then they try to find the brood and the where they're having more bees, and they take that and they put that in the box with the queen bees, and then they cut out all this comb, and they want to save some of the empty honeycomb so the bees will have something to do to fill it up as they recolonize and they're established in a different place. And you know what it is? It's a commitment, and it takes a whole lot of work to be able to get the honey, and it's a whole lot of problems, and sometimes you got to go through a wall, and you know what? I have wanted my whole entire life to raise honeybees. But I live in a neighborhood in the city, and I'm thinking, well, I don't care if the neighbor kids get stung, but what if my kids get stung? So I can't put it here. And I said, well, maybe I'll come over to the church and I'll put a honey box at the church, you know? I said, maybe I'll put it on the roof, and then it'll be... And then the next thing I think, I'm like, these kids are going to start coming to church and they're going to be allergic to bees, and then the church is going to get sued. And you know what it is? It's just too much trouble to raise bees in the city. But you know what? God has some honey and some things that he wants to give you, and it's going to take time to get them. You know what my biggest distraction is to getting the honey that God wants? Is I can't wait till this election's over, and I know it'll be something else after that, but you know what one of the greatest hindrances to getting honey is? All the distractions. I go there, and I'm studying my honey message, right, for this morning, and I'm thinking, oh, the Podesta emails number 22 came out 23 hours ago. I wonder if 24 hours I'm going to get Podesta emails 24. What's going to happen? And the FBI reopened this case, and man, this is good news. I sit down, my wife is like, you want to sing a song with the kids or read some Bible? I said, yeah, just give me a minute. I got to check these emails out here. There's only 33,000 of them. And you know what? The Lord has some stuff that he wants to give us, but sometimes you have to set the distractions aside and you have to go through the trouble that it takes and take the time to get the honey. If you want honey, the first thing you're going to have to do is find some honeybees and find a nest. When I was a child, we would be making this sorghum cane, and we'd squeeze the stalks out with the Amish people, and they'd make this molasses. And the molasses would be in this big vat. It would there, and then me and my friend would go up there and pump it up into the thing to where it would come down and cook it, right? And then sometimes there would be all these honeybees that would come there, and we'd say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to find their nest. And you know what we would do? We'd watch the bee when it got full, and he'd start heading off. And we'd follow it till we lost sight of it. Then we'd stay there, and the next one come. We'd follow it till we lost sight of it. And we'd stay there and wait for the next one. And we did that, and sometimes it took us half a day, but we'd eventually find the nest. And you know what the Lord does is he'll give you a little bit of truth, and it'll bring you over here. And you say, what am I doing over here, Lord? And he'll say, hold on, and some more truth will come. And you'll say, well, I'm a whole lot far from where I started. He said, don't worry about it, and some more truth will come. You know, the Lord doesn't give it to you all at once. Keep following the Lord. Don't let the problems distract you from getting the honey and what the Lord wants you to get. You're not going to find the honey sitting on the couch. You have to go find a nest. Hast thou found honey? Proverbs 25. Eat so much is sufficient for thee, lest thou vomit it up. Have you found honey? Don't let the pain stop you from getting the honey. Don't let people stop you from getting the honey. And don't let problems stop you from getting the honey. Let's stand for prayer. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes, the musician will come forward. We'll pray. Lord, I come before you this morning
And I'm thankful, Father, for all that you've given us and all that you've showed us in the Word of God, Lord. Thank you for the honey in it. And Lord, I pray you'll give us the courage, Father, to be able to endure the pain, to get it what it is you want us to do. I pray, Father, that we'll be able to ignore the people where they try to stop us from taking the honey, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we'll be able to work through the problems, but we'll get it and we'll take it and we'll consume what it is you're trying to give us. In Jesus' name, amen. If the